Today's reading is in Mark chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Mark chapter 13, starting in verse 1. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. Be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them. And the gospel must be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and child will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. But when you see the abomination of desolation standing where he ought not to be," let the reader understand, "then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down nor enter his house to take anything out. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that it may not happen in winter. For in those days there will be such tribulation as has not been from the beginning of the creation that God created until now and never will be. And if the Lord had not cut short the days, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, whom he chose, he shortened the days. And then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'Look, there he is,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. Be on guard. I have told you all things beforehand." So they've been spending some time at the temple. And as they're coming out, the disciples begin to comment about the temple. I have no doubt that they were proud of the temple. The temple was a centerpiece of the Jewish culture. And so I'm sure that they had great pride in it. They would look at the craftsmanship, which they're talking about, the stones and the artistry that was engaged in building the temple. Wouldn't be like Solomon's temple, but I'm sure that it was spectacular to behold. And so they're asking this question of Jesus, "Do you see these things?" I guess they want his remarks about it, or they want his thoughts or his impressions. And so they're saying, "What wonderful stones, what wonderful buildings." And instead of commenting about the stones and the buildings, instead of commenting about the artistry or the craftsmanship, he says, "Not one stone will be left upon another." That would be a shock. That would be a statement that would really take you back for a moment and think, "Well, how can that be? This is God's temple." And so there, it leads to some confusion. And so when they get to the Mount of Olives, you know, Peter, James, John, Andrew, they begin to ask, you know, "When are these things going to be accomplished?" Personally, I think I would have been asking why they would be accomplished rather than when, but perhaps they have some idea of the why. Anyway, they do ask this question, and Jesus begins to give some prophecy. As he begins to give these prophecies, he gives some warnings. He gives some indications about how they should view these things and their attitudes. He says, "Be on your guard." Verse 9, and again, verse 23, "Be on your guard." You know, these things, even though they wouldn't be directed at the believers in Christ, would certainly affect them. They are Jews. they are going to be affected by the destruction of Jerusalem, whether they're there or not. And if they are there, then they need to heed these warnings that when you start seeing these things happen, you need to get out. You need to get out of that area. Now, just to kind of insert a little historical context, Josephus writes concerning the siege and the destruction of Jerusalem in such a way that, yes, you could figure out that this prophecy was going to be fulfilled. The Roman army came and encircled Jerusalem, and there was the opportunity for some to leave, though that number was not large. I think that for the most part, a lot of the disciples of Jesus had already left the area, probably about the time that some of the Jews started rebelling, and there were some small skirmishes with Roman forces that gave them courage that led them to push it a little bit farther, and that eventually the Roman army is sent to end it with the destruction of Jerusalem. So just, you know, a couple of thoughts with the historical context that may or may not help you. These are things that are interesting to me, and I've read about them at some times. So Jesus really wants them to understand that this is going to be a very dangerous situation. And he's giving them the benefit of prophecy and warning ahead of time, because the destruction of Jerusalem was for those that were Jews that did not accept Jesus, and to end the Jewish nation as God's people. So he wanted them to be able to escape those things. And so he begins to say, you know, you'll hear of wars and rumor of wars. This must take place. They'll bring you to trial. They'll deliver you over. Those things seem very familiar with us because we see them happen in the book of Acts. They bring you to trial, deliver you over. Don't be anxious about what you're going to say. You know, the Holy Spirit will give you utterance. Brother will deliver brother, father of child, child against parents, and you'll be hated for my name's sake. But to the one who endures to the end, you'll be saved. So there's a lot that he's stating here, and we see that fulfilled. You know, it'll bring you before kings and councils. You know, very early on, we see some of the apostles brought before the Sanhedrin and told, don't teach the name of Jesus. And they said, we ought to obey God rather than man. You see Paul that is brought before various magistrates and then appeals to Caesar. And so he ends up going that route. So we see these things that get fulfilled within the New Testament time period. So Jesus tells them, be on guard, but don't be overly anxious or alarmed, because God's still with them. God's going to tell them, you know, what to say by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And they've been told ahead of time these things, they can escape from Jerusalem. And so he's reassuring them that God is going to be with them. And even in this time of great trial and difficulty, that they will still have the favor of God and the help of God, and understand that God is in control. I think they would have known that quite well. God is in control of all things. Now, even though we're not looking for a day of destruction, you know, the day that Jerusalem was destroyed, I think that there's some value in that particular message for us today, that despite the world events that you see happen around us, we need to be reassured that God is with those that are His, and that God is in control. It doesn't mean that He causes every little thing to happen or prevents every little thing from happening, but it does mean that God is with His people, and in whatever way He works, we can trust Him in that respect. And so when we look at the pandemic of the last year, when we look at unrest in the Middle East, when we look at, you know, rumors of wars, you know, different things that are going on the world stage, and even the challenges that we face as a society, some of the unrest we've seen over the last year or so, you know, some of the protests and different things that have happened, some of the changes even in the moral fiber of our society. These challenges that we face produce, yes, some of this hostility against Jesus and against His followers. but we still need to trust in God. And that last statement is applicable to us. The one who endures to the end will be saved. That is, the one who is faithful to the end. God will be faithful to us. He will save us. And we will have a home in heaven in which we no longer endure these various things. Faithfulness is of utmost importance on a daily basis. And so we need to pray that we have the faith that carries us through, even when we see turmoil, even when we see difficulty, even when we're unsure about what the future might hold, God is still the answer. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with all of us.